And this is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Had an interesting experience last night.
Is that right?
Yeah. So, it was my birthday yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I figure if you are the father of boys, that they just take you to a ball game. You know,
not just you go it's to quality the, time.
You go to the driving range. But I mean, they're kind of just built-in father-son activities. I think it's tougher for fathers of 20-something girls to find stuff that you have in common.
They could take you to a ball game too.
Yes, I think it's just you are tougher.
Well, I'm clearly tough because. Yeah, I go to enough ball games. I go to plenty of ball
games. I don't think it has to do with gender. I think it just has to do with you have access to all those games.
But I do think that there are kind of built-in father-son things that aren't quite built-in for fathers and daughters.
I don't know. I think that those activities are father-daughter activities as well.
What, ball games?
Yes.
Well, I don't want to go to a ball game.
I know. That's
I don't
what
need
we're saying.
To go to
is
a
it's
ball
about
game.
You, not the gender of your child.
Well, I appreciate that they, get creative. Like a couple weeks ago, it was my wife's birthday, and my wife kind of wanted to go to the newly, recently opened Nordic Heritage Museum.
Mm-hmm.
But I was afraid if we went into Ballard, we would all get murdered! No, we just thought, we didn't know if that would be entertaining for everybody. And so we decided, my wife came up with this idea. We went to this virtual reality place where you put on, I want to get some of those virtual reality goggles and the whole setup. Because
reality isn't enough.
No, believe me, I need to escape reality as often as possible. But I love those. Have you ever had?
Have you tried the ones that just hook onto your phone? They're really cool.
But I don't think that's available for Apple, is it?
Yes.
For iPhone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes.
I got to get something.
They're really cool.
Yeah, because I am just fascinated with that whole technology. So for my wife's birthday, we went to this place where we could all wear the virtual reality goggles and play games, and that was really fun. So last night, my girls had this idea. Do you want to get in a chamber that's 210 degrees below zero? I thought, well, sure. Who wouldn't want to do that? So it's this cryotherapy. You heard about
this?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's a big stand-up tubular chamber, and you get in for 2 minutes, and the temperature gets to 210 below zero.
Hmm.
And it supposedly is really good for your joints and your muscles. And LeBron James, he uses it all the time, and he's on the cutting edge of technology, and that's one reason why he's just a phenomenal, especially at his age. He has taken such great care of his body. And my youngest daughter wanted to do it because apparently the Kardashians do cryotherapy. So you get in for 2 minutes, and it was interesting. It was good.
And you're wearing what?
You just have on
and
shorts.
And you're in there. You're all crammed in there. Your three daughters and you at the same time, or are you just
you go sequentially?
Ah, okay.
Yeah, they only have one.
Hey, I'm picturing
Can
that
you
now.
Imagine?
That's funny.
So you go and you're only in for 2 minutes because you can't do. I think you could do up to 3 minutes, but then
it's
gets
too much.
Yeah, but I don't mind extremes.
Pieces. Were they trying to give you like a message, like Dad, you need to chill out?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, you gotta chill. Chill, dude. But I love extremes. I love there's this one place I used to go where it was a sauna that would get up to 180.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a plunge pool right outside of the sauna that was under 50 degrees. So you heat up to 180.
I would be okay with that except for my head. I need my head out of that kind of heat.
Mm. Oh, it's wonderful.
Breathing that in.
I mean, it's like a big hot tub-sized plunge pool. By, oh, you mean in the sauna?
No, in the sauna, yes. Oh. To breathe in the heat like
I
that.
Love oh. extreme temperatures. They don't bother me at all. And so anyway, you do that, and then they have little lasers. So they can measure your skin temperature, and mine was, I think, 34 degrees. So you, I mean, you just...
You... Would you do it again, or is that
yeah.
just a...
Yeah. Yeah, I'd do it again.
So that was a nice gift.
It was.
Did
it
you?
Was...
I mean, did you sign up so that you can see if this helps?
No. Know? No.
Your aches and pains all over?
Nah, but I'll think about it.
All right.
But it was. I'm recommending it to both of you.
Okay. All right.
It's intriguing to be in 210 below. I couldn't live at the South Pole though. That would be too much. Have to do that all the time. So anyway, that was my little birthday experience last night. Next up in the fastest 15. So the whole country now is seeing how wacky we are. In Seattle, King County, Snohomish County, where they, of course, have legalized drugs. Both King and Snohomish County have said that they will not prosecute if you have heroin, meth.
What, certain amounts.
Under a gram, which I'm not very good with the metric system, but I think 1 gram equals about 62 pounds.
I don't often see them searching people. They just see you using less than that, I guess. But do they really search?
It's for basically it's for personal use versus dealing.
Yeah, but a gram of meth. How long does that last a person?
I have no idea. You're kidding me?
Yeah, sorry. Outside our knowledge.
I think that that's more than a single serving. I think you can.
I'm sure our listeners will let us know.
Yeah, let me know. Let me know about
I
that.
I hope not.
But, oh, yeah, I bet none of our listeners have ever done meth. Never. They're as pure as the driven snow. So, anyway, Fox News was spotlighting this new legalization. Dan Springer is the reporter. He's a good reporter. I like Dan Springer. He covers the whole Pacific Northwest.
Caught with a small amount of illegal drugs? No problem, at least in one area of Washington State. Correspondent Dan Springer reports from Seattle on a county where if you're caught with cocaine, meth, even heroin, as long as it's a gram or less, you will not be arrested.
I mean, can you imagine in most of the country they hear this and they think, have they gone stark raving mad in Seattle?
The thing that just bothers me even more about, you know, what that does to the crime level, and I know there are people who argue that, you know, the drug war has not been working, but it's just the message that it gives to kids.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that's such a great point that they pretty much have the stamp of approval from the government. And I think that's what these heroin death camps or whatever it is they're building are going to do.
Seattle police stop known drug users, not to bust them, but to keep them out of jail. It's called the Law Enforcement Assisted Diversion Program. It began in Seattle and is spreading across the country. Ron Hobby was homeless, frequently behind bars, and strung out before becoming a lead client. He's still doing drugs, but he got a government-subsidized apartment and says he stopped committing crimes.
Okay, but he's still doing drugs. So how's this helping this guy's life? And I'm all for doing whatever we can to provide treatment on demand. I would spend any amount of money for treatment on demand. The sad truth is that most people, most of the drug users on the streets, they do not want treatment. They want that to be their lifestyle.
They're letting me know that, you know, okay, you can fall down, but you don't have to stay down, you know, and we're here to help you back up.
20 cities now operate LEAD programs, and according to its National Support Bureau, 31 more are looking into the harm reduction.
We know if you're being helped that you're going to do less harm, not only to yourself, but less harm to the neighborhood that you live in.
Okay, that's the whole point. They say, which is why Sally Dime Bagshaw, Seattle City Councilwoman, she said she wanted to look into the taxpayers buying heroin for the addicts. And she says, well, maybe they'll stop committing crimes. But again, the problem is that when the word gets out that in Seattle, the taxpayers will buy you heroin, or at least yeah, she wanted to look into it. But you can't get arrested. Of course we're going to attract all the heroin users to our region here.
But critics point out Seattle's homeless population has more than quadrupled in 5 years, with 400 illegal encampments littered with used needles. Open drug use is rampant.
you look at the streets, you look at how things have just exploded around here, and nobody in their right mind would say that we are on the right track now.
Hey, that's me.
That's a familiar voice.
Yeah, it's nice of them to reach out. But that's my whole point, is they always tell us that these programs are working, they're making a positive difference. Look on the streets and with needles, you know, by the tens of thousands, and the number of drug addicts are exploding. We have the worst property crime in the United States of America among major cities. And the reality is, and the data, the observational evidence is that we are on the wrong path. And
I mean, if there are people who are willing to be helped, I mean, I think that,
absolutely,
as you said, yeah, they should try that. But yeah, I mean, the idea that you won't get arrested is, you know, it's just hard to even imagine. I can't even imagine it like when we were growing up.
Right. And then I'm going to talk a little bit later. Are we talking with Kelly this hour, 1:30?
No, 2.
2 o'clock. Okay, big lead at 2. You know, I talked with this woman on Monday's show, Maria Ball. She was out for a training run. She's going to run in the New York City Marathon in a month. She was out on a 16-mile training run, 6:30 Friday morning, and a homeless guy grabs her breast, grabs her crotch. She had to scream. She, you know, he was going to sexually assault her in the Green Lake Ravenna neighborhood. And Kelly Herron, who was brutally, violently beaten in the bathroom at Golden Garden, she was on a training run for a marathon. And the reality is, our women, our girls, they're not safe because of what's happening on the streets here. That poor woman who was brutally raped at the car dealership in Ballard by a homeless guy. And all of these homeless guys came here from other parts of the country. They came from Texas. They came from Southern California. We are importing the dregs of the nation to our region because of these policies. And women are getting brutally beaten and raped. And it's just...
And I do think you hear some of those success stories, and I know that the prosecutor and the county executive have you know, shown that there are success stories where someone does turn their life around. But I guess you need to see more proof that that is the effective way to go.
And again, I'll pay the taxes for helping anybody who needs and wants help, but the proof is positive that our homeless population and our drug addict population has exploded. And policies are the reason why. Next up in the Fastest 15, Pearl Jam said, well, we want to help the homeless in Seattle. And so they did that concert or a couple of concerts at Safeco Field a few weeks ago. But I found out, thanks to Q13 News, that one of the most successful organizations at helping people with their drug addiction and homelessness is Union Gospel Mission. And I used to do a lot of work with Union Gospel Mission. I had, oh man, it's, I don't know how long ago, 12, 13 years ago. I was doing stuff for our morning news. I would be at different locations, apartment buildings that Union Gospel Mission had built so people could transition from homelessness to self-sufficiency. And the Union Gospel Mission, their approach was, you got to get clean, so we will give you drug treatment, we'll give you alcohol treatment. You have to, if you're going to get a bed, you have to be sober. We'll give you job training. We'll give you a place to live until you can get that job and get self-sufficiency. And, of course, being the Union Gospel Mission, it is a Christian enterprise, and it's a faith-based approach. But it works. It's proven. Well, the Union Gospel Mission is being completely left out of this Pearl Jam fundraiser. They've announced the organizations. They raised $11.5 million from the concerts at Safeco Field. But one of the most successful organizations at dealing with this problem, Union Gospel Mission, they're not going to get any of the money, presumably because they are faith-based. Now, government wouldn't be able to use a Christian organization, but a private fundraiser could. Union Gospel Mission's program officer, Terry Palace, told Q13 News that they want to be this beacon of hope for the homeless.
When they see Seattle's Union Gospel Mission sign illuminating over Second Avenue or other areas in King County, we want them to know that there's somebody here that will help.
But Pearl Jam, for whatever reason, has cut them out of the money they raised.
We are not one of those charities that was selected or in that pipeline to receive that money.
And they described how they help.
We get people stabilized off the streets and then get them into transformative programming.
But this,
I mean, the Union Gospel Mission does great work, and but did they say anywhere in deciding which groups that they would help that it was because it was a Christian-based organization?
They did not specify either way. But I do not know why else you would cut out.
Well, it could be that the other groups maybe need more help because Union Gospel Mission gets a lot of money.
Yeah, but it's they get it from donations.
Sure.
80% of their money's from donations.
Over 80% of all of our revenue comes from individuals, hardworking individuals.
And they are more successful. They have a higher success rate. And government, these government-run programs are useless. They're useless. Because not enough money goes to actually helping people's lives. So much of government goes to bureaucracy. And here's an organization that makes a difference, and they get cut out for whatever reason of that fundraising. It's all crazy to me, but I wouldn't have a job if there wasn't so much craziness around us. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. So, yesterday, I was talking about these new gun laws in King County. And at the council meeting where they were taking testimony, pro and con, I see a soundbite from New York Vinny. And I didn't agree with a thing he said, and so I'm going to talk with him about it. He's going to join us right after Ursula's News next on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as you heard me talk about at some length yesterday, King County has passed a ridiculous new gun ordinance, but as I was watching the hearing with people speaking out in favor and against this ordinance, I saw an old friend of mine testifying in favor of it, and that's Vinny Ricicci, who you know better as New York Vinny, and he joins us here on Cairo Radio. Vinny, good to talk to you again.
Doris, it's great to talk to you. Good to hear your voice, man.
You know, you came up on my show a few weeks ago. I have no earthly idea why, but like so many people, I'll get on YouTube and I'll start clicking on the sidebar videos, and all of a sudden, I watch you playing Name That Tune from, you were in your 20s, you're like an insurance adjuster or something.
That was a golden moment in my life, Dory.
I am telling you, man. And so I came and I talked about it on the show and said, I don't know how or why this video popped up. But then I started getting messages from people telling me it was your birthday. So it was just a wild coincidence.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's one of the algorithms in YouTube. If something pops up among people that you know on your birthday, and they don't tell you about it because they don't want to change it.
I guess. All right. So yesterday I'm playing sound bites from this King County Council meeting where they're talking about this gun ordinance. And I hear this ridiculous list of reasons why this ordinance is a good idea, and then I go, wait a second, that's New York Vinny giving this ridiculous list of reasons. So I thought we better hash this out here.
Okay.
So why were you up supporting this gun ordinance?
Well, you know, it's funny, Gary. I wasn't there to support the gun ordinance. I was actually brought there. Council member Jeannie Colwells asked me to come up. I don't know if you remember, a couple of months ago, they recognized the people for the 20th anniversary of the Seahawks, saving the Seahawks, all of us that worked on that Save Our Seahawks thing. And I wasn't able to attend because I was in the hospital. So she knew I was in town. She asked me to come up. And as I got up there, I found out that this was today's comment was on gun law.
Yeah.
And it's a passionate issue for me. I believe that while I know we're never going to take the guns away from people, I don't think that that's probably shouldn't ever happen, but responsibility for guns is a whole different thing that we always shy away from. And I looked at the law, I looked at the ramifications of it. It doesn't seem like a really hard thing to do to lock up your gun, is it? I mean, if you own a gun. So I just said, please. I think it's incumbent upon all of us, if we feel passionately about something like this, that when we get an opportunity to talk to politicians about these kinds of things, that we let them know what okay. we're thinking. And that's what I did. I had the opportunity. I had a minute left on my time. Okay. And what the heck? I went up there and said, listen.
Okay, in case, in case our listeners don't know this law. So what it says is, if you own a gun, you must have it locked up in a safe or some other gun lock in your home. And if somebody breaks into your house and steals your gun and then uses that gun in the commission of a crime, the gun owner, who is a burglary victim, the gun owner could be fined up to $10,000, could be put in jail for up to a year. And here's my opposition, because I want to get into your head why you would support this. I'm a okay. gun owner. I would never have a gun without having a gun safe. I believe in it. That's my personal responsibility. I don't think the government should be telling us that. And if somebody has their... I mean, what you said, Vin, is that you got to have it locked up inside your house. If the gun's in your house and your house is locked and some meth head kicks in your door or breaks your window, how in the world should the gun owner be responsible? Isn't it already locked up if your home is locked?
Well, yes, it is, and I would agree with that to a certain extent. But I also believe that there are many, many, many gun owners that don't lock their guns up. I mean, honestly, I know a lot of gun owners.
No, but I'm talking about if your house is locked. Your gun is sitting in your nightstand, and your house is locked.
Right.
And that gun owner should be responsible.
Why would you take the extra protection to lock the gun up? Well, if it's such a dangerous thing, and you think that you believe that the people that get guns get them illegally, that they'll obtain them by breaking into your house, mm-hmm. why would you not take that extra precaution and lock that gun up? And why wouldn't it be incumbent upon you or required of you to do that? It's not like you're leaving out a loaf of bread or something. I mean, you're leaving out a dangerous weapon falling into the wrong hands can hurt many people
okay.
and cause havoc. Why would you not want to take that extra precaution?
I do want to. I just don't think it's government's business. Because, and if somebody's house is broken into when it's locked. But let me go down the list of there are things you talked about, Vinny. You said you talked about cars. So if your car is locked and somebody breaks into your car and then drives down the street and kills somebody, should we have a law that says, well, you didn't put a club on the steering wheel, so should we put that car owner in prison if somebody steals their car and uses that in the commission of a crime?
In many states, if you do not take precaution to safeguard your car and it's stolen and used in the commission of a crime, you can be held responsible for it.
But if the car's locked and somebody hotwires it, should we say, hey, let's pass a law and also require everybody put a club on their steering wheel?
Let me turn it around then. It's cold in the winter.
But answer that one.
You go out, you start your car to warm it up because you don't have one of the self-starters.
Totally different situation.
Right, but you still... If somebody takes that gun, now if you take the precaution to keep your car, I don't even think you have to lock the car. If your car has the ignition switch and it's inside your house, it's locked.
Right,
you've taken that reasonable precaution. If you leave the keys in the ignition, should you then maybe be held liable? Well, that's an interesting question.
Well, but
there's already a lock on your car.
Yeah, but that's why I'm asking. Should government impose a next level of the club? Okay, here's another one for you. Your cell phone. I suppose, where do you leave your cell phone when you go to bed for the night?
Next to my bed.
Okay, somebody breaks into your house, steals your phone in the dead of night, and then as they're driving away, they text a friend from your phone, and they say, tell them about the house they just broke into. Should you go to jail if they crash while they're texting using your phone because you didn't put the cell phone in a safe when you went to bed?
No, because my phone's not designed or built to kill somebody.
More people die from distracted driving.
It's specifically built to kill somebody.
Yeah, guns are built to defend.
If you're going to have that right of having that gun, then you should have the responsibility of safeguarding that weapon.
Okay, but more people die from... More people die from distracted driving than from guns. And so if phones are more dangerous than guns, should we have to put them in a safe at night?
If somebody walks into a schoolyard and starts hitting people with cell phones and killing kids with them, yeah, then I want to lock up the cell phones too. I haven't seen that happen yet. But if somebody goes to a school and kills a bunch of kids with a cell phone, yeah, Dory, then I want to see them locked up.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if they are texting on your phone and they kill somebody. I mean, which is the analogy.
It's a ridiculous analogy.
What?
I think it's a ridiculous analogy because they don't have to take my phone. It's not it's not designed to kill somebody.
But it does kill. It kills more people than guns do.
Somebody should they be liable if it's an accident?
Phones kill more people than guns do. Distracted driving kills more people. Do we want government to mandate that?
Because again, I don't think. Well, listen. I don't think in my mind that the purpose of a phone, this is a ridiculous analogy, because I think that a phone is not there to kill somebody. Intention of a gun
does kill people.
Is to hurt somebody, is to harm something, is to kill something. And if you want to have a gun, that's great. If you can prove that you're responsible enough to own a gun, that's a great thing. But what I'm saying is if it stops one kid from getting killed, one person from getting killed, if it stops somebody breaking into your house, taking the gun and holding it to your head while they're robbing you, Dory, mm-hmm. or your wife or your kids or your grandkids or whatever, is it not worth it? Is it not time that we looked at this whole thing and said, what can we do to stop the guns that everybody says are the illegal guns from getting into the hands of the wrong people?
Right.
That's my point. And stop them from getting into the hands of the wrong people.
But I'm just talking about, you know, there are a lot of other things that kill. You talked about pills, and you said you have pill cases. Well, there's an opioid crisis.
Somebody's childproof jar.
If somebody and my child can open a childproof jar, but if somebody steals your pills and overdoses, should you be held liable for that?
Again, it's apples and oranges. We're not talking about something that is intently manufactured to kill something.
I don't have my gun to kill people, Vinny. I have my gun to have for self-defense. I don't have it to kill people.
Right, and what are you going to do if somebody breaks into your bedroom? You're going to fire two shots over their head? Come on, don't you going to shoot to kill?
No, I'll kill. Yeah, of course I'd shoot to kill. If somebody broke
it. It's designed to kill him. If that was the case, you'd have a baseball bat next to you, better a slingshot.
I have that,
or
too.
Or a Hare Krishna thing where you could prey on him.
Yeah, I have the baseball bat, too. Believe me. I can still swing the bat.
Yeah,
still got some good bat speed.
I got my Ken Griffey Jr. bat next to my bat.
All right. Vinny, it's always good talking with you and catching up. I appreciate you coming on with me today.
It's so good to hear your voice, Dory. I hope to see you soon. And next time I'm in town, I will stop by and see you.
Please do. I'd love that, Vinny. All right. Take care, my friend.
All right, my friend. Take care.
Okay. New York Vinny. There's the other side of this gun debate. And if you want to comment on this, you can text us on the Online Trading Academy text line, 98973. That's 98973. And we got lots more straight ahead. Here on the Dory Monson Show. Years ago, there was a local firefighter, and he was on disability, but he had back injury, and then some undercover camera caught him because they had an investigator checking out if, you know, these claims are valid, and it showed him doing all kinds of active things. And I tell you what, man, disability fraud. And if you genuinely get hurt on the job, of course you should be taken care of. But disability fraud in the public sector, do you know how much it costs the taxpayers. It's just through the roof. And it's not just disability fraud. I saw one of my sources, they got me printed material that the teachers union sent out to their members about during the strikes how to fight. And they suggested that everyone take a sick day on the same day. Cripple the schools. You know, personal days. Take your personal days. Make sure you max out everything. Max out all your sick days. And by the way, I don't care if it's public or private sector. The people who believe that sick days are just vacation days. They're thieves. Those are thieves. Mental health. Oh, I needed to take a mental health day. You're a thief is what you are. If you truly are sick, and you know, I'm one of those people. Everybody always gets angry at me. You shouldn't come to work when you're sick. You can make your coworkers sick. But I've taken, you know, fewer than 10 sick days in 25 years on the job. I just believe that my employer pays me a good amount. Anyway, this one guy worked for Burlington Northern, collected $180,000 in disability benefits over 23 years. There was only one problem. They had video of the guy doing yoga on a paddleboard, which he would not have been able to do if his disability claims were legit. The guy is going to prison for 9 months, has to pay back the benefits. Yeah, get rid of these fraudsters. They're all over. Okay, Cammie, thank you very much. And she'll have more in the top of the hour news. But if you're in that major mess on I-5 northbound between Northgate and 175th, we will keep you posted. And if we have to add extra traffic reports in the next hour, we will do that for you. You know why? You know why we do all of these things? Yeah, you know why. Because we love. Big Lead at 2, coming up next.